And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. We are in the eye of the storm, and things can only grow worse and worse. And today we're going to be examining the hurricane force, the gale winds that are ripping across the American landscape, and what you need to know about it, and possibly what can you do about it to protect yourself. The money bubble is going to break. The financial crash is coming, and inflation is knocking at our door, and something worse than socialism is howling at our window panes, and everything is going to break loose. I'm here to tell you, friends. I want to give you a little briefing of some things that are, they're not creeping. They're galloping. It's almost like the devil jumped on his horse and said, "Giddy up." He's moving. He and his legions of devils. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, 200 million more devils are released from the east. From the east. Well, we're considered the west, are we not? From the east. Devils. They're warriors. They're soldiers for Satan. And they come up out of the pit in the last days. The book of Revelation says that an angel is given a key and he goes and unlocks one of the compartments of hell. I guess you'd call it a compartment. It's called the pit. And out of the pit comes legions of devils in the last days. I mean, we've had evil times on this planet, but in the annals of American history, never have 200 million devils been added to the forces of Satan. And they're possessing human souls. And one of those souls is going to be called the Antichrist. He must be alive right now somewhere on this planet. Well, I want to talk to you, and the title of today's talk is The Eye of the Storm. You know, I used an analogy recently on this radio program. I told you about my days as a young boy back in Beaumont, Port Arthur, Port Neches, Texas, on the Gulf Coast. It was a nice place. You know, we only had to drive about half an hour to get to the beaches of the Gulf Coast, of Galveston and so forth. But at the same time, we had to worry about the hurricanes coming in. And they would smash across, and I remember Hurricane Camille and Hurricane Audrey back in 57, I believe it was, and hundreds of lives were lost when Hurricane Audrey hit on the Louisiana Texas coast. We're right next to Louisiana along the Gulf Coast there. And I recall that at certain times, the hurricane would come in and all of these gale force winds would rip and shred things and trees would be bent over. And wow, I mean, you know, you just worry that your house, most of the, back in the old days, you know, the houses were on blocks, cinder blocks. And they would shake, and you worry they're, you know, going to fall off their foundation. But suddenly there would come a lull, a calm. Everything would be still. And you'd say, "Oh, the worst is over. This is great. Oh, praise God, we're saved. It's all over. All the winds have abated. The tides have gone down. Look, even the water is receding from the Neches River and the lake there." And wow. But hold on. You were only in the eye of the storm. And then the backside of the hurricane hit you. And it seemed to be worse than the first. And so the destiny of the killer hurricane roared on. Now today, my friends, as bad as things have been, we're in the eye of the hurricane, the eye of the storm. And compared to what it's going to get to be, this is relative calm, relative peace. Oh, now, don't misunderstand me. I've never seen such a cascade of prophetic events in my life as is going on right now. Even in the eye of the storm, things are moving and shaking and frightening people. And many people are pondering what's going on. How is it that General Motors was having some of its, and Ford and Chrysler were having some of its banner years selling car after car and new models and sports cars and big Hummers and all SUVs and vans and everything looked rosy, and then suddenly, boom! Now they're government motors. Now they're being told you're going to have to put out these little bitty nonsensical, stupid little puny cars, green cars. Obama's running the car companies. He and Rahm Emanuel as chief of staff, evidently. They know more than the car makers and the car dealers and the mechanics and all of we consumers what kind of cars we ought to drive. They're going to tell us what to do, where to go, how to do it. And they're going to take as much of our money as they want. And they're going to live as they always do, by the dictum of the satanic church. There is a church of Satan, and Anton Zander LaVey founded it in 1966. That's right, June the 6th, 1966. And he said it was based on one doctrine alone. One great commandment of the Satanists and all those who follow in their train. And that commandment is, do as thou will shall be the whole of the law. And it's almost as if Obama told all of the Illuminati elite, we will do as we will. And that will be the whole of the law. Regardless of what the people want or desire, to blazes with them, we will do as we will. And all the Illuminati elite applauded and said, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Now we're seeing the change. The hope of hell is at our doorstep. The change that will bring misery is knocking on our window panes and howling like a hurricane force. And this is the eye of the storm. I want to cover a number of areas with you today. You might want to get a pen, pencil and paper and take some notes, because I'm going to go very fast, because I want you to have, we've got less than an hour now, and I want you to have this information. First of all, I've talked about the money bubble. You remember I did a program called Bubbleology 101 that told you about the bubbles. Oh, we've had the dot-com bubble. You know, the NASDAQ high-tech crash. We've had the Dow Jones average go up to 14,000 and then crash. We had oil go up to $147 and then crash. $147 a barrel, that is. We had the real estate market go to unbelievable heights and then crash. They were all bubbles built on nothing, on unreality, on thin air, and they went poof. Just like a kid chewing a stick of bubble gum. He blows the bubble, but then it's built on nothing practically. And it's all a mirage. And now, because they said that a debt crisis, people owed excess greed and money hungry bankers, ran up this real estate to unbelievable heights, and then they took these derivatives, they created money out of nothing, from nothing, and packaged it and sold it for more money that was nothing. And they bought yachts and jet aircraft, and their wives ran around in $10,000 dresses by Gucci and Versace and all the famous designers, and they lived like kings while we struggled as paupers. They did whatever they willed. That was their law, and it is their law. Now, how do you solve a recession, really the beginning of a Great Depression, that was caused by too much money, created out of thin air, that all went poof? In other words, suddenly there's a credit crisis, a crunch. All the so-called money turned out to be nothing but fiction. So when you've spent too much money and it's put you in the hole and you're in a recession, how do you get out of it? Well, Obama and his Secretary of the Treasury, Gettner, and his White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel, who is a big Wall Street manipulator and has always been, and the banker friends that they've got, the Jewish billionaires that backed Obama for office, what is their answer? Well, since we spent ourselves into crisis, their answer is that we will spend ourselves out of crisis. Now, folks, if you're making $50,000 a year and you go out and spend $10 million this year, you know, your pocketbook is just not going to stretch. 50 grand does not equal millions. Well, what if suddenly everything is collapsing around you? You're in a financial, you're financially destitute. Your $50,000 is gone and now you have a $10 million debt besides. What if you said to yourself, I know how to get out of this $10 million debt. I'll just go spend $10 million more dollars. Now you owe $20 million. What are you going to do? Say, well, I owe $20 million. I can't pay it. I only make 50 grand a year. Oh, I know how to get out of that. I'll just print up and spend 20 billion more or million more non-existent dollars. Friends, when you're in debt, you can't spend more money to get out of debt. I mean, use your brain, use your common sense. If a man says, I shouldn't have done it, but I went off and bought a new car and now I can't pay for it. His wife doesn't say, well, dear, go buy a bigger car. That'll solve our problem. If you bought a Pontiac and you don't have the $20,000, you know, to pay for it, well, go buy a Lexus for $60,000. That'll solve our problems. Sure it will. If you buy a $200,000 house you can't afford, how do you fix your problem? You go out and buy a $1 million home. Does that make any sense? It makes no sense. Obama says, okay, the American people are losing their jobs. Their bank accounts are shrinking. Their pension funds are shrinking. Their retirement is shrinking. Eureka, I know what to do. Print money that doesn't exist and go spend some more. But don't just pay those bills that have come due. Go make new bills. Create new loads, mountains of debt, and everything will get better. Friends, the last great bubble is the money bubble. Monetization of the debt. Monetization of the debt. You can't pay the debt, so you just create more debt. And you can't pay that, and you create more and more. Finally, it comes crashing down on you. Now, we're at the level now, we're in the money bubble. As I understand it, $16 trillion have been spent so far. Now, Congress has approved two different stimulus packages, and together they only come to around $1.5 trillion. But without our approval, much more than that has been spent, and most of it's been given to banks and insurance companies, financial institutions. Don't worry, says Obama, it'll trickle down to you and me. A depression has spread across the globe. We don't have to look and say how bad things are in America and say, woe is us, because the people of Germany and Belgium and Italy and India and Pakistan and Argentina, they're also saying we're in trouble. Our economies are sinking. As goes America, so goes the world. Japan has the greatest depression in its history. Even here in America, Michigan, the state of Michigan now says we have 13% of our people unemployed. Many people say 25%. After you quit, if you're so disillusioned and you just feel so dejected you can't get a job and you're not looking anymore. You just go back and live in some little shack in poverty. They take your name off. Well, if you're not looking for a job anymore, then we'll take you off the unemployment rolls. So this is 13% of the Michigan workforce that's actually out there looking, still hoping they can get a job. In many parts of Ohio, they say 15 or 16% unemployment, for example, in Columbus, Ohio. And now they're proposing to take General Motors, the American icon, and they've already discontinued, what, I don't know, Pontiac, many other brands. I think Oldsmobile went down the tube some years ago. And GM is now going to start building little green cars. Oh, yes, that's just wonderful, isn't it? And they're closing up thousands of dealerships. Did you give money to the Republicans last time and you're an auto dealer? Maybe you have a big Chrysler or Chevrolet dealership in Houston or Toledo, Ohio, or Charleston, South Carolina. Oh, you made a mistake. You should have given to Obama. And now they're going to decide which dealers are going to be closing down. You say, well, wait, we've been making money. We've been selling thousands of cars a year. You're not going to close this down. Yep, we're going to close you down. Thousands of dealerships are going to be closing down. Now, friends, right now people buy a new car and they can't get their car serviced. Everybody complains about bad service at car dealers. Well, what if they're all closed down? All the service places are closed down. You can't get your car fixed. Why buy a new car? Buy a used car. It's cheaper. Besides, there's nobody to fix it. All the dealerships have closed down. What are you going to do? Buy it on the internet? There's no dealers. Meanwhile, inflation has begun. You would think people are not driving so much anymore. I mean, after all, gasoline went up to over $4 a gallon. Then it settled back to $1.95. Well, the manipulators are back in tow, and they've driven it up in many places. It's around $2.50 a gallon now, going back up. Oil had gone from $147 a barrel down to $32, and now it's up to $68 a barrel as of yesterday. It's doubled in price. That's why the gasoline's going up at the pump. And yet, the International Energy Agency and the American Commerce Department announced that our burning of gasoline is at an all-time low. No one, but so many people are not driving. They say, I can't afford to drive at $2.50 a gallon for regular. I can't drive. I can't do that. Here's how one of the ways they're doing it. The gas refineries are only producing about 50% utilization rate. They want to keep the price of gasoline high, so what do? They just close down the refineries, the gasoline refineries. Sunoco and the others are all closing them down, laying off the workers. We don't need you because if there's too much gas out there, people will get it too cheap. Friends, they don't care about your welfare, these oil companies. They want to sell you gasoline at a high price, and there's no more drilling going on. You know, McCain and Palin said, oh, we've got to go out there and drill for more oil. But the oil companies never did want to drill. They had millions of acres out offshore that they could have been drilling all these years. They didn't want to. And they loved it when the environmental crazies said, you can't drill here in Alaska. You can't drill here off the coast of California. You can't drill here off the coast of the Atlantic. We're not going to let you. We're slapping your wrist, big oil company, Exxon, Chevron. And the oil companies sit back with all their million-dollar lobbyists and said, okay, we can't drill anymore, ha, ha, ha. And we can't build any more gasoline refineries because the environmentalists are so mean. Friends, they can do whatever they want to. They got the lobby power and the money to do it. They didn't want to build any gasoline refineries. They didn't want to drill because this whole planet is awash in petroleum. It will never run out. I've proven that. Get my audio tape called Planet Petroleum. We have more oil that's been discovered in the states of Montana, North and South Dakota than they have in Saudi Arabia and throughout the Middle East. There's more oil that's sitting, not being drilled right now in the Gulf of Mexico than has ever been discovered in the history of the world, right off our coast. And if we were to start drilling it, we could start selling it to other countries. And with the profits, America could be 10 times as rich and there'd be nobody out of work. But then the oil companies wouldn't make so much. The less they drill, the less gasoline and oil is available to the consumer, and the more the price will go up. Do you get it? This is basic economics 101. Now, this money bubble, I've told you before, is the last great bubble. All the things, the real estate and all the others kept going up in price. Finally, they crashed, the stock market and so forth. Now there's just money going out there. And believe me, they are reinflating the economy. They're doing their best to reinflate the economy. But they know that it can only last. It's like, you know, were you a little kid and you would blow a balloon up? But if you didn't hold it right, real tight, you know, right there at the stem, what's going to happen? The air just goes right back out. They're blowing up the economy and the balloon is getting bigger and bigger. But then they spend the money, they're blowing it all, and then a big sucking noise comes and it all goes out of the balloon. This is the money bubble. $16 trillion spent, and then after it's gone, wasted, there's no more. There's nothing else because they didn't buy anything. They just blew it, giving it to all the bankers. Now, where is this money? What happens to all this money? It is going the same direction that Bernie Madoff's $75 billion went, to the banks of Israel that have these secret banking accounts for the Jewish Illuminati. Huge banks in Tel Aviv, Israel, owned by Rothschild, Bronfman, and the other members of the Illuminati's mega council. Meanwhile, our real estate continues to crash. It's not over, friends. You know, I hate to be the bearer of Yogi Berra type news, but I always liked Yogi Berra. He's the guy, you know, that had the famous saying, it ain't over till it's over. Well, the real estate crash ain't over till it's over. One out of eight homes in America are now in foreclosure or mortgage delinquency. That statistic came out yesterday on the news. One out of eight are either in foreclosure or mortgage delinquency, meaning they're 30 days or more behind in their mortgage payment. The owners are. And commercial real estate is waiting around the corner. As I drive around Austin, Texas, which is still the fastest growing city in America, the city where I live, a metro area of about 1 million, and we haven't suffered as much as some other areas in our real estate. But as I go around and look at these little strip malls and such, suddenly I see for lease, for rent, signs going up everywhere. Businesses are beginning to cave in. They've held out as long as they can, and now they're caving. They're caving. They're caving. Big shopping malls are going bankrupt. You're going to see this commercial real estate market crink very, very fast, and then that'll escalate. Now, gold, meanwhile, is knocking at $1,000 an ounce door. Why? Not because people are buying jewelry, gold jewelry, chains, and all that, and rings. No. In fact, did you know that the price, the gold sales increased 38% this last year? That's right. Gold sales went up 38%, but jewelry sales went down 57% across the world. Where's the gold going? Now, let me give you that statistic again. The sale of gold went up 38% around the world. But the sale of gold jewelry went down 57%. So what are they using the gold for? I'll tell you what. Protection. Safety. They're scared. They're scared the stock market will continue to go down. I know it's had a little rebirth. I know it's gone up about 38%. The bubble, they're reinflating things. The price of a barrel of oil had gone down to $32 intraday, and now it's back up to $68. They've reinflated everything. The stock market had gone down to what, $6,500, $6,200 on the Dow. Now it's back up to $8,500. 38% increase over just a couple of months. They're inflating the money bubble. But how long can they maintain it before it goes right back out? I've noticed that for a while there, food prices, agricultural commodities, you know, wheat, rice, grains, coffee, were going up to the moon. Then suddenly they shot down like an expended rocket down to earth again. But I looked just recently and I checked all of the ETFs and all the agricultural averages on the markets of this world, and they're all up. They're booming. I've never seen coffee so high. I saw one coffee company, Green Mountain. You've never heard of that brand, I know, but they furnish coffee, Green Mountain Corporation, Coffee Corporation. I understand for dozens of sort of off brands, Safeway, H-E-B, they buy all their coffee from this Green Mountain. And then the local company puts their own name on it, their food store or whatever. Green Mountain then is one of the biggest, you know, suppliers of coffee. I looked at their stock and the stock is up like 180% in 6 weeks. One day it went up 26% in one day. You know what that means? You better buy your coffee now. Buy several cans extra if you're a coffee drinker, because it's going up in price. But corn, wheat, rice, all the grains, they're all going up. People are eating less. Yes, they are around the world. And just like they're driving less, gasoline should go down. If they're eating less, and eating cheaper cuts and all that of meat and all that, the prices should come down. And they did for a while, but now everything's inflated and they're going back up. We're going to have inflation. And this time it'll be inflation without a real improvement in the economy. Now for a while, it's going to look like things are going to be better. They're already talking about green shoots in the economy. Things are looking better. We've reached a bottom. But the Illuminati elite can only exceed in their dastardly plot if things get worse. And even the Bible, the Apostle Paul said in the last days, things will wax, that is, get worse and worse until the end comes. Now let's talk about some more. The American dollar has suddenly begun to fall. Treasury bill interest rates have gone up slightly. In fact, they've gone up from 2 to 3 to 4%. You know what that means? Interest rates on mortgages are going to go up. Interest rates on auto loans are going to go up. You want to improve your house? Get a house improvement loan? You're going to have to pay more. If you're a saver, that's probably good. Maybe your CD rates will go up a bit. Now, when we return, I want to talk about why Tim Geithner, the Secretary of Treasury, is in China on his knees kissing or licking the boots of the Chinese communist. I want to tell you about that. I want to tell you about the Bilderbergers that are meeting in Tel Aviv, Israel, right? That's right, the secret society of the Bilderbergers. I want to tell you about the health care plan, the value-added tax, and much more. We're in the eye of the storm, and you're listening to Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. Do the Illuminati elite worship devils? Well, all we have to do is judge the actual physical evidence around the world of devils, idols, being planted everywhere, many of them without any notice at all. In cities, towns, villages across America and the world, devil statues and idols are being planted and have been planted. In churches, department stores, airports, they're everywhere. What are they doing there? My friends, you cannot help if you visit almost any city in America, whether it's Cleveland or Tampa or Philadelphia or Los Angeles or New York or Chicago, you will unexpectedly have a close encounter with the evil kind. You will come face to face with the devil. And I proved that in my newest video. 60 minutes on DVD, $30 postpaid. I'll send you a copy. And this is important. Why are sculptors, architects, engineers, builders building edifices and structures and incorporating devil faces, devil heads, entire bodies of devils, as well as devil things such as dragons, serpents, goat gods, fantastic, horrible creatures and gargoyles? Something is going on. Something is going on when they build a huge new government building and you walk around it and you see devil statues built into the facade in stone. Who's responsible? These aren't just symbolic things. It's real devils. You'll learn about the church in France, a Catholic church. When you enter the door, look up, inscribed in stone over your head are the words in French, "This place is terrible." How could a church be terrible? And you walk on in, and there in the lobby, you are confronted by a huge statue of a devil with horns. And he's carrying a basket with a couple of dragons in it. What's that all about? How can the dragons and a devil and a place that's terrible be a church? Aren't they mixing black and white? Ah, yes. Is evil becoming good? Well, of course. That's what the Illuminati goal is. To transplant evil with good and to make good seem, well, evil, and evil be good. They're confounding people's minds and really creating a new world order. And it's within our midst. We're waiting for the new world order to appear, and it's already here in architecture, and the devil's idols are seen around the world. And people say, "Tex, you call your organization Power of Prophecy, and you talk about devil statues. What has that got to do with prophecy?" Oh, well, friends, haven't you read the book of Revelation? It says in Revelation 9, verse 20, that even after God sent these horrible plagues, and boy, they're coming. That's what we're talking about today in the eye of the storm. Pestilences, famines, swine flu, worst viruses have been found, I read just today, in Africa that are headed our way. Worse than the swine flu. And it's going to be compounded to become worse, we're told, by none other than Rahm Emanuel in an interview. The White House Chief of Staff says the swine flu will come back and be recombined or mutated and become a very deadly virus this fall. I think he knows something, don't you? But even after all these plagues that God sends to earth, all this death and bloodshed, and sickness and pestilence and famine, what do people do about it? Do they change? Do they become more godly and say, "Okay, God, we're so sorry for the mess that we've made. Come help us out. We repent." No, they do not. It says in Revelation 9:20, "And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood." In the last days, there will be idols. Now, I know many people say, "Oh, nobody worships idols." I mean, that was back in the old pagan days. the old mystery religions, Egypt, Greece, Rome. Today, nobody really worships idols. Oh, yeah, well, get my video, Face to Face with the Devil, and you will see thousands of devil beast idols around the world in government buildings everywhere. Have you visited the Denver International Airport? Have you looked up on the pedestal and seen the serpent staring down at you? Have you looked at the devil in horns, a bust of him looking down on you? You say, that can't be possible. Oh, yes. And quite fittingly, if you visit the building that houses the Motion Picture Producers of America, that's the Hollywood Association of Movie Makers. When you enter the door, look up, because right there on the keystone, there is a horned devil looking down at you in stone. I think that's very fitting, of course, in that particular location. And by the way, if you're a Mormon, Latter-day Saint, you might want to visit the original Mormon temple in Nauvoo, Illinois. The brainchild of your church founder, Joseph Smith, who was a Masonic initiate and an occult conjurer, and noticed that sun devil images in the architecture. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Face to Face with the Devil. $25. Your friends don't believe the devil runs this world until Jesus comes again? Well, it's my job to prove otherwise. You see, I have a mission in life, friends. I'm Tex Mars, and my only mission is to tell you the truth and to tell you that until Jesus returns, the devil owns this world, and his people are in place in the governments of this world, and that's why we're headed from the eye of the storm into the most vicious part of the storm. And it's going to tear up the old world and create a new world of satanic things. Inventors of evil are very busy today. That's my job to tell you about it. But I want you to know something more important. You do not have to be part of this kingdom of evil. You can be translated into the kingdom of God at the twinkling of an eye by believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, trusting in him, being born again in spirit and truth, not just mouthing it, saying, okay, I believe. A lot of people do that. Even the devils believe in Jesus and they tremble. But they're not saved. You've got to believe and change your life. You say, I can't change. I don't have the power. You're right. You say, I've tried to get sin out of my life, but I just can't. I don't want to smoke. I don't want to drink. I don't want to lie. I don't want to curse. I don't want to commit adultery. I don't want to party. I don't want to do all those things, but I just can't stop. Of course you can't. You have no power. And the devil has induced your flesh to do all those things. And that's natural. You're a natural born person. How do you get out of that? How do you get out of that rut? How do you rise up from the pit of excess? I'll tell you how you do it. You say, Jesus, I can't do it. I cannot do it. I need you. Christ said, with me, all things are possible. Now, a lot of people try to clean up their life and then say, after I've cleaned up my life, then I can become a Christian. Are you kidding me? You can't clean up your life and become a Christian. You become a Christian and Jesus will clean your life up. He'll make you a new person. But first, you got to understand there is evil in this world. There is a devil. And the whole world belongs to him, and you do too, dear friend. Many years ago, somebody called up a radio program and said, Tex, I think all you're trying to do is scare the devil out of people. I said, well, have I scared the devil out of you, sir? He said, just about. Yeah, you have. I said, well, praise God. That's my mission in life, to scare the devil out of people by showing them a better way, a more sure way. That's what prophecy is, a more sure way. Face to Face with the Devil, $25 plus $5 shipping and handling, $30. Order it by calling us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673 in the United States and Canada. That's 1-800-234-9673. Or go to powerofprophecy.com. It's right there on our homepage. You can even look at a little preview of it. Click on it, you can watch a little preview of it. And then you can order it. You can use PayPal, use your charge cards. Call us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. Or you can write to us too and send us $30 postpaid. Say, text, send me face to face with the devil. Prove to me there are devils everywhere, hidden in plain sight. I'll do it. I'll do it. $30 postpaid. Write to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And now let's return to a regular program. We're talking about the eye of the storm. And what I want you to know, my friends, is the levelers are at work. Had a house about 20 years ago and had a foundation problem. They brought in this jack. I said, what are you going to do with that? They said, we're going to level your house. Okay. Did a pretty good job. When I left, it was still level. Americans, how dare you have more cars, more money, a better lifestyle than other countries? How dare you? We will take it from you, say the Illuminati elite. We will level everything. How dare you to have more, to consume more electricity, to consume more gas, to consume more wood, appliances, and so forth. We will take from you and give to others. But as for us, we, the Illuminati elite, we will continue to live in our palatial palaces. We will continue to fly around in our gas-guzzling executive jets. We will continue to be chauffeured around in our big limos. We will live in splendor, but you peasant, you peon, how dare you own a big gas-guzzling SUV? How dare you consume so much water by watering your lawn? We'll fix your wagon, they say. Now, I want you to understand something, friend. I've created a little term for you, and you'll have to write this down. These people are not socialist. They're not communist. They're really not even Zionists, although right now they're using Zionists to great effect. They're not socialist. They're not commies. They're not even Zionist. But I want to tell you what they are so you'll know. I've invented a little phrase for it. It's the five C's. The five C's. Remember FDR had a Civilian Conservation Corps, CCC? Well, Tex Mars has his five C's for you. Here they are. What are these Illuminati elite who are using their stooges like Obama to put forth their New World Order? They are criminal, corporate, capitalist, combines, and cartels. Did you get that? Let me say it again so you can write it more slowly if you're writing it. They're not socialist. They're not communist. They're certainly not democratic. They can be a little bit of all those things. They can be Zionist. Of course they are. But more than anything, they're the five C's. They're a network, a cooperating, conspiring network of criminal, corporate, capitalists, combines, and cartels. That's what they are. They're capitalists. And they believe in privatization. Everything the government owns, meaning you, the people, will be given to them. Don't think for a moment that Obama and Emmanuel and Gettner, the Secretary of Treasury, or for heaven's sake, Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, want to run and become CEO or Chief Financial Officer of General Motors or Chrysler or Bank of America or Citibank. They don't want to run those things. They want their billionaire pals to own them. And they can appoint some peasant to be the CEO and reward him handsomely, or her. The government is not going to own Google or General Motors or Southern California Edison Utilities or Houston Power. They're not going to own Procter & Gamble or Westinghouse. They're capitalist. They will take over those firms. They will seize them and give to their friends. If a Gentile owns a car manufacturing firm, they will take it from him and give to a Jewish Illuminati. That's what they're going to do. If a bank is run by Gentiles, they will find reason to audit that bank, close it down, and merge it or turn it over to another bank owned by Jewish Illuminati. That's how they do it. They're capitalist. And they will even take our own resources, our highways, our roads, our water systems, our forest, and they will give them to their Illuminati pals, other capitalists. The government is not going to run the forest. They're going to turn it over to all the international paper and all the big Boise Cascade and all the big companies that are owned by the Illuminati. And you better be in bed with the Illuminati, Bill Gates, Michael Dell, and all the others, or they'll take over your computer firm, Microsoft and Dell. They've already taken over most of them. Now, Tim Gettner is now in China. This very day that I'm doing this program, he's in China. What's he doing in China? We got a big crisis over here. He's Secretary of the Treasury. Well, I'll tell you what he's doing. You see, over the last decade, we bought trillions of dollars of Chinese goods. Everything seems to be made in China. We've closed down our whole manufacturing sector, and now we get most everything from China. Well, there's some from India and Pakistan, etc., but most of it's from China, made in China. I'm surprised they don't get American girls and stamp on their back ends made in China. I mean, my goodness gracious. Everything is made in China. A lot of by slave labor sometimes, practically. And we've paid dollars, trillions of dollars for all those goods over the years. And they got a lot of that money sitting in their banks over in China, in Shanghai, Beijing, in other cities, Hong Kong. And now we need our own dollars back. And Gettner is over there begging them, licking their boots, saying, please buy our treasury bills. We owe so much and we need to pump trillions of dollars into the world economy. Please let us borrow money from you. We need to borrow money. We'll pay you back with interest, we promise. Meanwhile, the Chinese have got with the Brazilians. Brazilians are smart enough. They're much smarter than America, although they're part of the New World Order too. And they have found the biggest find of oil almost ever in the world, right off the Atlantic coast of Brazil. And they've established a company named Petrobras Oil. Petro Brazil is the meaning of that. Petroleum Brasilio. Petrobras. And it's made Brazil a rich company country because they don't have to go out and buy our oil or Russia's oil or Saudi Arabian oil or Iraqi oil. They've got so much oil they don't know what to do with it. And the Brazilian economy is booming. And their real, that's their currency, is doing just fine in the world markets. The Chinese are saying we and the Brazilians, the Chinese currency and the Brazilian currency should be used in the world markets from now on, not just a dollar. Now, the Europeans want the euro to be a competitor with the dollar. But the Chinese say, no, your money's not as good either. So, the Rothschilds have to figure it all out, what they're going to do in order to get their new world order paradise and crush America. And predictably, the Rothschilds are now working together. There was a big news report just a couple of months ago that the Rothschilds of France and Switzerland and Great Britain have all merged and consolidated. Well, they always work together, but in recent decades, they've been a little bit loose in their coalition. Now they're together again. Lord Evelyn Rothschild, Lord Nathan Rothschild, Lord Jacob Rothschild, and the other Rothschilds are working close together. Here's what they've done. The Bilderbergers, which is a meeting of about 150 of the world's richest and most powerful men, including some politicians. Larry Summers, financial economic advisor to President Obama, was there at the meeting in Athens, Greece, in early May of the Bilderbergers. Governor Rick Perry of Texas was there. Well, that's because they're building the Trans-America Corridor to put together the North American Union, and it's going right from Mexico through Texas on all the way up to Canada. He had to go there to be given his orders on what to do next. Because the citizens of Texas are balking about it. They're angry about it. But remember, the Illuminati motto, do as we will shall be the whole of the law. Rick Perry doesn't care what the Texan citizens want. He's going to give the Illuminati what he and they want. The Rothschilds have now called for a special meeting of the Bilderbergers, and they're meeting this very week where? In Tel Aviv, Israel. The Bilderbergers? In Tel Aviv, Israel? You got it. They're going to meet for 5 days. And they're going to decide the fate of the American dollar. And my understanding is the Rothschilds are already doing like the Roman Caesars in the Colosseum when the gladiator was brought up and he was the Caesar was asked, will he live or die? They took their thumb and went down. And he was slain. Fed to the lions. Special meeting of the Bilderbergers. They just met in May, but now they're meeting again in June in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is now the world's financial capital. The end of America as the center of the world financial order came on September 11th, 9/11, when the twin towers of the World Trade Center came down in a heap from bombs placed inside by the United States CIA and the Israeli Mossad. And that symbolized the end of American mercantile power. What would become the new world financial capital? Tel Aviv, Israel. A city founded in 1909 by Lord Rothschild, whose goal was to make sure that the head of the Rothschild dynasty someday would become king of the Jews and a world Zionist power. And Tel Aviv would be the money capital of the world. Heinrich Heine, famous German author, as he said, and I've quoted him on this program before, as he wrote, he was Jewish and he knew what their plot was, the Rothschild plot. He said, the God of the Jews is money, and his prophet is Rothschild. Their God is money. They chose money over God. Jesus said, okay, you got to make a choice. God or mammon. They said, we want mammon, money. That's why they have names like Silverstein, Goldberg, Goldman, Copperfield, Diamond, Rubinstein for ruby. Ah, yes. Precious gems, precious metals. They even give themselves the name of those things. They love it so much. And now the Rothschilds are having a special meeting. Friends, we're in the eye of the storm. Meanwhile, Muslim workers in Europe are getting angry and rioting. Will it be the Hispanics in America next? We're having a Supreme Court judge, Sotomayor, appointed. She's a member of La Raza. And La Raza is a group that believes that the southwest states of the United States should be invaded by Mexico and recaptured and made part of Mexico, the Aztlan Empire. La Raza means the race, the race. She's a racist. She says racist things. That's why in one of her decisions, she ruled that white firefighters should not win promotions. Even if they scored better in tests and had better records or whatever. If they were more qualified, nevertheless, blacks and minorities should get the jobs and promotions. Martin Luther King said, I have a dream that someday whites will kneel down and lick the boots of the blacks and the Mexicans. Oh, you mean that wasn't what Martin Luther King said? That wasn't his dream? Oh, well, Sotomayor, she may have misread that. Now, we're already have spent $16 trillion, but don't worry. The money bubble is growing because now Obama just yesterday gave a speech and he said, we've got to get this health care plan put out there and approved while this crisis is here, or we'll miss the opportunity. You see? Ordo ab chaos, order out of chaos. caused the chaos, and people are so confused and scared and frightened right now, they'll do anything. And he says, we can fix our economy and end this recession by spending $3 trillion or more a year on health care. And who will get all this free health care? Tens of millions of illegals will pour into America. We already have 25 to 40 million illegals, and they're all going to say, we want free health care. I have a headache today. I have a backache. I have a toe ache. We'll just go down to the hospital and sit. You'll get unemployment compensation. You'll get disability compensation. And guess what? You'll get free medical care because Obama's going to give it to you. Come on in, Mr. Gomez. Come on in, Mr. Juarez. You're not an American citizen. Oh, that doesn't matter. Friends, the emergency rooms, the hospitals, they'll be crowded with millions of Gomez's and Jose's from South America, Central America. And there'll be, of course, Mr. Ching Chang from China and Mr. Waho from Korea, all illegal aliens. And of course, there'll be Mr. Ratsanit from Pakistan, all here illegally because Miss Sotomayor, Judge Sotomayor says, as part of La Raza, we do not believe that illegal aliens should be deported. Now she's going to be on the Supreme Court. Already, Social Security has been changed. Congressman Ron Paul told us about it. Now, Mexican illegals can get Social Security and Medicare. How are they going to do it? Obama's already warned. After this financial crisis is over, we're going to have to circle back, he said. We're going to have to look at all those entitlement programs. Social Security, Medicare. If you are United States born in America, black, Mexican, Chinese, white, you are going to have it taken from you and be given to foreigners. Now, I don't just speak for white people. I speak for every American. I'm standing up today for every American black, every American Mexican, every American Chinese, every Polish American, every Greek American. Listen to me. You are a bona fide citizen. It will be taken from you and given to these foreigners. Now, I want you to understand something. Rahm Emanuel is White House Chief of Staff. He's Jewish. He served in the Israeli military. What's he doing in the White House? Then there's Tony Arzag, another Jew. He's head of the White House Budget Office. And guess who he has working side by side with him, who really is running him? A man named Zeke Emanuel. Oh, you've never heard of Zeke? He's the brother of Rahm Emanuel. And Zeke Emanuel says, I will give you the health care plan. He's in charge of it. Emanuel's brother, Zeke, is in charge of the health care plan. And they've already put out the little test balloon. We're going to have new taxes, 10% value added taxes on everything. My folks, listen, you buy a new car, they will add $5,000 or $6,000 to the cost of it by the time everything's added on. You buy a new piece of furniture, $500 will be added on to it. Friends, we're in the eye of the storm. I haven't even talked about the environmental programs they have planned for you. Did you know every house is going to have to be audited? And if you're using too much energy, they're going to put a sticker on your door notifying you you're using too much energy. You're using too much water. Every house in America, this is an 1,100-page environmentalist bill that is now being passed by the House and Senate. Folks, wake up. We're in the eye of the storm. They've just been in office a little bit over 100 days. What's the next 100 and the next 100 and the next 100? The five C's are at work. The levelers are busy. The criminal corporate capitalist combines and cartels have taken over America. Watch out. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy today. It's been my great pleasure to bring these things to you, to tell you the truth and to warn you of the great hurricane force that awaits us. Wake up, fight it, combat it, and pray that God will have mercy on us all. Tune in each week, dear friends. Please tune in and discover the power of prophecy.